This episode of the 365 Mrs. Center Show is sponsored by Microsoft, recorded live on location at Microsoft Ignite 2019 in Orlando. You have the chance to win one of 10 Surface Earbuds just for listening to this recording. Surface Earbuds, that's right, the latest ear tech, built for productivity, communication, and of course, listening to music. Stay on top of your day with Surface Earbuds featuring an ultra-comfortable design, intuitive touch and voice controls, screen-free access to Office 365, immersive sound for music and calls, and all-day battery. To be in the chance to win, visit aka.ms/msignite/podcast/sweepstakes and complete your details. To enter, you must be 18 years of age or older. If Surface Earbuds are not available in for distribution in your legal country of residence, you'll be provided an alternative prize of equal or greater value. For full terms and conditions, visit aka.ms/msignite/podcast sweepstakes. Entries close at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time, December 15th, 2019. Be in to win. Welcome to the 365 Message Center Show, where we plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed. This is the MS Ignite episode. Hey man.
What's up?
Let's roll the film. All right, thanks for joining us here at Microsoft Ignite. I'm Daryl as a service.
I'm Daniel Glenn.
And we have...
Michael Ziak.
All right, yeah. And look, the intros are so much easier when we're doing this in person. There's no delay over a Teams call. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
You're welcome.
It's really good to do this again with you for a second year and hear about the developments in the Message Center Service Health Dashboard and the roadmap. But we're going to do what we normally do on all our shows, which is we are going to cover some key things in the Message Center
that have occurred.
And we should really crack into it, because what's different about this year, Daniel?
Well, last year we were here at Ignite, we're on stage and we're doing what we do, but there was very few messages. For some reason, we had a lot of announcements, but 4 or 5 messages. This year, what's different? Is we don't have 4 or 5, we have 20-something.
Yeah, so have a look.
It is quite a bit of messages since we've last covered ours for last week. So what we're going to do is really talk about themes of what is in the Message Center, talk about some announcements that we wanted to make sure we highlight. You can go off and watch all the announcement, all the videos from Microsoft Ignite, the keynotes and such, but we want to highlight what we thought was important, or at least just wanted to highlight here, and then we'll talk about those, the Message Center, but then the whole ecosystem of how we bring in changes into Microsoft 365 through the roadmap, through the Message Center, and then, you know, when things may not go so right, the health dashboard.
Yep, looking after that whole life cycle.
Yeah.
So let's crack into it, Daniel. I know that we've got a few here to get through, and I have purposely left the ones that we want to just briefly mention as unread. Yep. So we are going to start a little ways up the list. I know if you've joined us on our last episode, there's a few more to cover. We won't cover those today. But let's get into a OneDrive announcement here, which is about the request files command.
Oops. There's missing a D there.
Oops.
But all right.
Let's typo.
Yes, that's right.
So the goal with this message, what does this feature do? For OneDrive, it's allowing you to create a folder to then say to team members, people, individuals, hey, I want you to submit your files here. This is a Dropbox that I've created. So this looks like a really a Dropbox. Whoopsie daisy. A box where you would drop your files.
Right. A drop.
Hyphen box.
Box.
Sorry, OneDrive. That requests, but you can request to have your files put
right
into that that box.
This is kind of the, this is the location where, and I think like marketing teams, the first thing I thought about, there's other applications, but marketing teams where let's drop all of our assets. You're working on the flyer, you're working on, the poster, you're working on the email.
Yeah.
Let's put all this into one so we have it in one place. So I say, hey, here is the folder. I'm sharing it. You, please, I'm requesting files from you to put it in.
Yep.
So this is a cool feature.
Yep, definitely. Now, we do suggest that you try and put this in a more collaborative space,
yes,
like a team site, like a Microsoft team. But to get things started, this is a good one.
Correct. That's the key. Remember, files and our content can move, and it probably should move. While in the life cycle of of when you're creating media and content, it should move, right?
Yeah.
And so OneDrive is a start. You gather things, move it to a team site when it needs to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next one we want to address is a feature that we've been waiting for in Microsoft Teams and online meetings. We now have presenters and attendee roles. And this means that when people come in, they can be an attendee and be restricted down to a certain subset of features, mm-hmm. as in, you don't like it when attendees take over your meeting, then, oh, can I take control?
Well, and it's accidental, usually, right? It's, oh, I click the share button, and now my desktop's being shown, and I don't even know it. So being able to say, and we've had this in Skype for a while, to be able to say, you're a presenter, great, that's your role in this, and now you're an attendee, you're there to be presented to. So loving this. We have been waiting a while, but here it is. And we say that a lot, though. We've been waiting a while. Well, we've gotten in this mode of, well, we request it. We're expecting it soon. But, you know, it has to be developed, and they've done a good job here.
Definitely.
Yep.
We're not reading MC numbers. Let's get those out quickly, too. So
yes.
MC194602. And that one gradually rolling out mid-November, completed by end of November. So good to hear that.
Yes.
Keeping on rolling, another Microsoft Teams. We've got native federation for one-to-one chats.
Yeah. And just quickly, really, this is about having chats with people who are not in your organization.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. We've been able to do this with Skype for Business. And if you're open federated, that means that I could reach out to Mike, for example, and on Microsoft, and we can have a one-to-one chat. And now we can do that within Teams, natively, Teams-to-Teams conversations.
Yep.
So good to see that arrive. That's MC194603.
And this is gradually rolling out early November, which here we are, and worldwide by early December.
Yeah. All right. Now, at first glance, this next one doesn't look that important. However, I think it's a good one. It's a good one. This relates to SharePoint. Daniel, why is this significant? Let me see. We've got a little Giphy here. This is really helpful when they have those in the message center.
It is. And because, so you don't have to, you look at one image and you see multiple.
Yeah.
You see the actual. So what this is really this focus mode. And that's not what it's called, but that's what it is in my mind. To you bring the list into focus, and you don't have any of the other Chrome. You don't have the navigation and such going on. You're just focusing on what you're trying to do with that list. And this is not for, you know, a contacts list or, you know, those basic things. This is when you're really using this list. And what it's showing here, you got conditional formatting. You've got, you know, you could have multiple rows, multiple columns. This is all about really just getting your work done and being able to focus on that work.
Yeah.
So this is a great, I'm loving this feature in SharePoint.
And it's a good theme that we're seeing too across the Office products. If you want to focus, you type in up a document, you know, that's what you see is that basic experience. So really appreciating that because we've got to deal with a lot of stuff in our lives. Let's focus on what's in front
of
us.
Did we read that? It's MC194769.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Good stuff. Audience targeting. For SharePoint organizational news. Now, I am working on a couple of projects right now, and some people are going to be very happy to see this arrive. MC194788. Mm-hmm. Now, this means that, in my examples that I'm seeing, multinational organizations or people that have different regions, they want to present relevant news to their region and only to that region, potentially.
Yeah.
So they're using an Active Directory group, and they can now say, for the organizational news, here you go. This is the news that matches your region, and we'll use an AD group to manage
that. Well, and this is, and it says here, we did talk about this. It's been a while since we kind of talked about this. They have changed the rollout timing. So right now it's mid-November, so in a week or so starting, and then complete by the end of December.
Awesome.
Yep.
We did the MC number, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. All right. we skip a few in the list.
Mm-hmm.
We thought this was significant because we know how the community is. They're like, oh, what? We love the Office Suite version of OneNote, the non-Windows Store version of OneNote. What do you mean it's going away? And it looks like they're bringing it back into Office Suite.
Yeah, so we're talking about OneNote 2016.
Yes.
Right, we have OneNote, the app for Windows.
Right? I use that a lot.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I do not. I don't know what it is, but I just don't like it.
Right.
And don't ask me why, because I'm not sure I can nail it down. just for some reason I like 2016. I love 2016.
There's
I
still some things missing in
yeah,
the store.
Yeah, but I love
app, right?
OneNote. OneNote yeah. is a fabulous app. And what we have been told last year was no new development. 2016 is what you got. It is there. We'll support it as from a security perspective with Office, but nothing more. Well, now, just announced, is not only is it they're going to be developing for 2016, including the new feature of dark mode coming to OneNote 2016, the first one released. But they're also making it, its first bullet point there, mm-hmm. they're going to make it part of the Office Suite products when you, by default. So when you go and get your Office Pro Plus, when you're downloading from office.com as part of Office 365, it will be included now.
Mm. It's back in there. And that's good news, especially for those who are using the fuller feature set of OneNote, maybe using OneTastic, other kind of add-ins like that, then you're back into support. Keeping on rolling, this one's a more of an admin center feature, which, you know, this comes out of Mike's team and the people that are making the administration of the Office 365 Message Center easier to work with. MC194823, we have the ability to favorite admin roles in the Message Center. There are, I don't know, I didn't count them up, but like it feels like about 30 or so different roles that you can give to people in the admin center to narrow them down to certain feature sets.
Yeah.
So why is this important, Daniel?
Well, because just as you highlight, there's several dozen mm-hmm. Roles, but not every organization uses them. Surprise.
Mm.
They don't, and that's fine. It's the roles that you need to use. So if you're using a subset, which most organizations are going to be using a subset of those roles, and they're going to be different for every organization, then I can favorite those roles that we're actually using and easily filter the list for those favorites so that I don't have to scroll and scroll. I don't have to go through the ones that I'm not using at this moment. When I use a new role, then I can favorite and it'll be added to that list.
Yeah, so for those on the podcast, we'll describe it, but you know where the roles is in the admin center. There is a column now there for favoriting things, and then you can filter based on the things that you've favorited.
Just yeah, click the star.
A star. Not a heart for some reason. Just kidding.
Yeah. They don't love it. We're just favoring
it. Yeah, just favoriting it. You're a star.
You're a star.
Yeah. We have, that one we were going to skip because some of these are actually bigger topics, but yes. Do come back to that one.
That's right.
And I think we're going to finish on Outlook iOS launches Play My Emails.
And this was in the keynote, I believe. Yes, it was in the keynote talking about I'm able to tell Outlook on the mobile, iOS at this point, to read my emails to me, to basically give me an idea of my emails that are going on, including meetings. If I get a meeting invite, it's saying, so-and-so has invited me to the meeting. Oh, by the way, you already have two meetings scheduled at that time.
Hmm. Does it say, oh, by the way?
I'd
like the Daniel pack of the voice so that we can get all his Tennesseeisms.
I don't know what you're talking about, Daryl. I don't know what you mean.
I want to, when I go to get the email read to me, I first want to hear Daniel from Nashville, the home of, and then get into my email.
Right. Hello, hello, Daryl. This is your email for today.
But I do hear that the voice reading is actually more natural than what we're used to hearing in other products. So.
And Cortana has, by the way, a male voice now. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah.
For those in New Zealand, I could say maybe that's Cortane, because Tane being a male name. Sorry, Microsoft. Yeah, okay. Enough of that. That's
moving
why I'm not
right
in
along.
Marketing
so
and branding.
I do want to mention something. I'm throwing an audible here, and I'll be very brief. We have a update from a previous message, and that update is from the Power Platform. We talked about extensively about the ability for the Power Platform was enabling the self-service purchasing. So for Power BI, Power Apps, and now Power Automate, which is formerly known as Microsoft Flow, users being able to buy their own licenses. Well, they've updated it now and saying, and you can go back and watch that episode. Now, Microsoft will allow us to turn that off for our organizations. So that's that's really all I was asking for was, don't force this on everyone. Some organizations would love this, but some are going to hate it. So allow us to turn it off, and they will. And they're pushing the timeline to January instead of rolling it out very soon.
So yeah. So a nice wrap up there too. That again, Microsoft is listening, whether or not it aligns with the plans and the vision. It's nice to have an off switch so people can deal with it at the pace that they can handle.
That is right. And that message was MC193609, just for reference.
So awesome. Great.
And so let's switch real quickly.
Yeah.
To some. Do we want to talk to Mike now, or are we doing we're going to do Microsoft Ignite, your pick for
Microsoft Ignite and my pick?
Okay.
Because there's a lot happening. A lot.
So I've got my pick. I've got two of them.
Oh, okay.
So Teams, there's just a lot there, and so that's one of my pick. Pop out. I do a lot of when I'm in a meeting, I want to go to another team or view other content, and doing that is a little bit. It's just not the best user experience. Being able to pop out content, but also pop out meetings, so into a different window and not being in the same window, fabulous. Wow. But I did want to mention SharePoint. SharePoint, just these new intelligent intranet features with home sites are coming out now. Mm. They're rolling out now. We've been talking about those as announced at the SharePoint conference. That's fantastic. Multilingual native.
Now, that's a big deal, isn't it, in the U.S.?
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Well, because in the U.S. we deal with a lot of organizations that are international. We've got Mexico, obviously, with Spanish. We've got Canada, which is English, French. So we've got that, but we've got a lot of international companies. And so we do often have to have multiple languages. So bringing that native experience is fantastic in SharePoint. New SharePoint user interface, user experience with Fluent is coming at the beginning of the year. And then I would have to mention hubs associated with hubs. So we're going to be able to take a hub, which we've talked about many times before, and associate it with another hub.
Yeah.
And think about this as large organizations that have multiple HR departments, for instance, that roll up to an HR hub, and then taking that HR hub and rolling up to the company hub. So that's one example of using
it. Yeah, now the interesting comments that I've heard from people about that, they said it feels like we're going back to that sort of site collection and subsite.
Maybe.
But it's easier to reconfigure, isn't it? It's just giving us those same controls, but we can connect it the way that we want. And
it's all about roll-up. It's all about look and roll-up of information, right? So if you think about it that way, we just want to have the branding, you know, flow through, and we want to have the roll-up of news and content like that. Just think of it that way. We're not structuring content.
I do believe our brothers, Laurian and Alistair on 365 Unplugged, are doing a bit of a discussion about that. So check the corner for the reference. We'll link through to that episode as well.
Yeah, certainly.
Great. Now, my pick, because I said pick, and you sound like you got five in there, mate.
I had another one I didn't even mention.
Well,
okay.
Let's just hold maybe to the deep dive episode and the audio thing.
Yeah.
But Project Cortex is a big deal this year. Okay, now it was a top secret, and we had a friend who was involved in that, Simon Denton from Mott MacDonald. Mm-hmm. One of he was the first private preview customer using this. Now, Project Cortex, it's not going to be its name, you know, once the thing's released. What is it? Project Cortex is all about using AI to help people get information served up to them. And it's basically called a knowledge network. I got an interview, and I'll link to that as well. The core of it is that think of a new person joining the organization. They're trying to get to grips with all these acronyms and all these different words and projects and things. We've got a people card. Now we can hover over a key topic word, and it builds out the topic and key people to talk to, experts that are discussing the topic.
Content. Documents.
Yeah, and going into the documents themselves. Now, one thing that every SharePoint person is going to be happy to hear about this. It is AI helping to add the metadata to documents. The very thing that we get people to struggle with, to say, add those keywords, it's going to do it on their behalf. And then as admins, we can give them some help.
And
it's a massive.
I've built out wikis in previous versions of SharePoint that were trying to do this. Keywords and terms and company information of what does that abbreviation mean?
Yeah.
You know, what is that project? Well, building out wikis that did that, but it was a lot of work, and it was it really wasn't sustainable. But now, automating that, having AI really help you with a lot of it, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, so AI helping you out. And the key thing is, it's coming to where you're working, right? So where you might be in a document, on a page, in an application, it's there, you hover over that topic, and you get that all built out. I've even heard that they worked very closely with the FAST team to make sure that the information that's landing on that card, even the conversations, are coming there in not quite real time, but as quickly as possible to that card.
It's fast.
Yeah.
Is what you said.
Fast. F-A-S-T. The FAST team. Okay. So that, I mean, there's a lot more to say about that. I'll link to the episode that we recorded live in the booth with the Project Cortex team and Simon Denton. So thanks for that interview. Yeah. I think we're about ready to talk to Mike Ziok from... look, so there is a bigger title. I know I'm never really good with these titles.
That's quite all right. So I'm a partner director for service engineering and accountable for... the message center, all of Service Health dashboard content. So whenever things go wrong, my organization is accountable for reporting that, and also then the roadmap. Right. So keeping it up to date and integrating all of those to give for the best experience for our customers.
Yeah. Now we honored again to have you on the show last year. We got to sort of dive a bit deeper into how this all comes together. Maybe you could give a quick recap for people to say. What's this life cycle of an update, and how does it make its way through? Yeah.
So we try and connect our users, our customer population, as close to engineering as possible. If you look at what we do with the roadmap, it's actually a curated version of Visual Studio that the engineers are plugged into that then is replicated into the roadmap. So actually what you see in the roadmap is effectively the work activities that the engineering team is doing. It's not this sort of separate, complete, different thing. Then we tag in the roadmap, the items, so you actually can follow it forward to Message Center. So I always think of the roadmap as this sort of telescope, and then when you get to the Message Center, it's more of the microscope of how does this affect me? And so we want to give you that timeline. You know, one of the big things that we try and do as well is listen to our customers. You notice the typo that we had in the first Message Center post. Thank you for calling that out. That's now fixed.
Okay. I think I saw Mike was frantically getting something done.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt, but you could have given us a thumbs down in there and told us about it. We listened to the feedback.
Right.
That's directed actually to the core engineering, the product owner of that particular post. And they'll take action against it.
And we do that. On the show, we often say give thumbs up because when we love stuff.
Type a comment out.
And thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And similarly for the service health activity, we are focused on getting closer and closer to the user population and getting to the customer, getting the signals from them, listening to their feedback, and then responding to it. So between Message Center and the Service Health Dashboard, it's about timely, relevant, actionable, and easy to discover information. As you were running through the items, I think you saw the rich cards that we provide in terms of detail, content, etc.
Yeah, no problem. And we've actually really appreciated the development there, particularly around the image, the image that you now pop in there. It's really been great to see GIFs in a richer format there that we don't have to go off to some blog post to get a general cue of what's going on.
Yeah, and we try and balance because there's too much information that you can display that becomes overwhelming. So we try and get the core content, then provide more information below. So it's about giving and surfacing that information to our customers. Now, in terms of features, we've been working. So as you talk about items in Message Center, you're largely focused on this wonderful feature or that wonderful feature that is user-facing. We've been working a lot on improving the experience of the administrators, empowering them to be able to do more. So a few things to call out. Some of them are improvements to existing capabilities. So we have now... made generally available the ServiceCom API. So those APIs both tie into Message Center and to the Service Health Dashboard. Those APIs are now production and released as V2. And so those are available and out of preview. Second, the mobile admin app has been improved to actually do consistently push notifications. We had some issues with regard to that.
Right.
Now you should be seeing from your mobile app the push notification showing up. Next, and this one is one I want to emphasize, especially for our larger customers, is we've implemented a privacy reader role. So within a message center, we'll announce things that may be relevant to privacy. Well, those we don't want to go to every admin, every reader role. And so we have created a privacy reader role and also made it available to the general admin of the service instance for the customer. So the customer will always be able to see it. But for those customers that do have a privacy officer, they'll actually be able to put them in. They will get the content. No one else in the organization will. Yeah. So it helps maintain the privacy as well as targeting communication. We also added and the ability to sort by last updated by in Message Center. This was something that was asked for because it was kind of hard to reason through all of the content. When we make an update, you want to know about it. You want it to surface back to the top.
Well, that's
and so we put that in.
We've got an interesting use case that turned up throughout the year. Daniel and I have different ways of reading the Message Center, so it's nice that it can support different ways. What I do is I will dismiss messages after I've read them, so I've got a nice, clean, what's coming next week. Daniel leaves them all there, but read. And because of my behavior, there was a message that had been updated, but was seen to be almost new, but it was still published from back in, let's say, July, and it appeared again in my list.
And so ultimately we want to make that experience as good as possible for you. The next one, which right now is going to be going into pilot, just to give you a little bit of peek behind the curtains, is using Planner. We're actually going to integrate Message Center with Planner, so you'll actually be able to build plans and so on. So if your organization has an Exchange admin, you'll be able to tag that Message Center post. You'll be able to say this belongs to the Exchange admin. You'll be able to give them tasks and actually use Planner capabilities integrated natively in with the Message Center experience.
That's awesome.
So the idea will be that we'll likely generate sort of a core frame scenario and then give effectively a toolkit, because larger corporations may have more complex requirements associated with it. But the idea will be to provide a general sort of out-of-the-box experience and then provide that capability more broadly to be able to...
And that's great, because like we worked and interviewed Brian Smith, so it was something of a garage project, and it was really cool to see that the team's bringing that in as a native experience.
Well, and I think that you mentioned larger organizations, which is totally true, because, you know, you divvy out the information to the people that need to take care of it.
Yeah.
But it's also applicable to smaller organizations because, you know, even for organizations that have, like, someone, an outside IT person who does all their IT, well, they're not reading their Message Center all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to say, okay, ooh, we need to assign this to our outside IT.
Yeah. And Daniel, you're spot on. That's why we want to create an out-of-the-box experience, because we don't want the smaller organization to have to think about and build Planner, a Planner implementation to do this. The idea is that we'll give that will help the small organization get the larger ones running out of the box, but then ultimately we want to allow it to be extensible for those larger customers.
Yeah, I'm using that as a way for change managers and people in charge of adoption to more easily access what is changing, what I need to inform my people about.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'll shift context now to the Service Health Dashboard. Again, you'll hear common themes in terms of the fact of listening, et cetera. For us right now, the focus has been around amplification of the signal coming in from our customers. When you look, we have a Twitter handle. That Twitter handle will be used when customers or end users, because ultimately the Service Health Dashboard is targeted towards an admin. And we use that signal to tell us whether there's an issue going on that we may not have caught, or if it's an issue that we are looking at, we actually get feedback from the customer.
And what was that Twitter handle?
It's MSFT 365 status.
Yes.
So MSFT 365 status. We also use Down Detector. We will use third-party technology. It's a great crowdsourced capability. But ultimately, that doesn't provide us really rich context as to what the user is experiencing. So in about August, we released into a targeted release, and for a few large customers, a capability that we call Report an Issue. And this exists within the Service Health dashboard experience. So you're going to the Service Health dashboard, you're going, my users can't connect to Outlook, and you go, I don't see a post. Well, that could be in most cases because we actually don't have an incident, but it could also be because you're seeing it first. We're working on it, but we haven't gotten a post out. Right. We want to get that signal in, and we want to disintermediate the support team and get that signal as quickly as possible to the engineering team. Right. And so we have built out a lot of AI in our support systems to actually read and reason over support cases. Because if you think about, we get well over 100,000 support cases within a month. We're a large, many hundreds of millions of users service. And so ultimately, having that many support agents taking in questions, you need to have technology to help you. And so we actually have the core engineering teams working on building the AI. We're now extending that. We're going to be using that same AI to, when you report, let's say, Daryl, you have an issue, when you click report an issue, we know what instance of capacity you're on. We know what region you're from. We know what tenant you're coming from. So now we get that rich context, the amplification of that signal to tell us what's going on. And even while we were in preview for this particular feature, we have actually had it alert us to an issue, and it's been successful. So great. We're looking forward. We're going to be rolling it out starting, I think, about next week, actually into production. We're going to be slowly hydrating, measuring signals, looking at the content, and then going worldwide with regard to it.
So one thing about the approach there, it's about an end user and being able to report an issue, and it's going direct to Microsoft support. Does the admin of the organization still get in the loop there?
Well, we're starting with the admin. So the model right now is when you go into the Service Health dashboard experience, you will see incidents advisories, and you will see a link that will say report an issue.
Yeah. Right.
And we've framed it around core scenarios, you know, Outlook, Teams, SharePoint, and what feature. I can't send, receive email, et cetera. Yeah. So now when we get that signal, we actually know what's going on beyond somebody just sort of pressing a button in down detector that doesn't tell us anything. We don't know where they're coming from. We don't know what instance of service they're using. Yeah. We just know that somebody is saying something.
Well, and you're framing it too.
Yes.
And I think that's very important, because what we may be experiencing the same issue, but we're going to describe it differently because what we are trying to do may be different. Mm. We're expecting the same issue, but I was trying to do something slightly different, and I'm going to give you context to that. And you're like, that's great, customer, but I don't need to know that. I need to know how to fix it.
Yeah.
And so framing it to say, you know, I can't get the email, or we can start investigating that.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, one thing, and again, this particular feature is not one that we are set to give a date for release, but I want to give some insight to your viewership and listenership about, is we're actually working to deliver content regarding an issue in experience. So we're going to start with Outlook. So if you're in Outlook, and we have an issue that is impacting Outlook, starting with the administrator, because we know who the administrators are,
right,
we will actually, while you're in Outlook, pop up in the Outlook frame a message that says, there is an issue, exchange issue 12345. Mm-hmm. This is the experience that your users are seeing. They cannot send, receive email potentially. Mm. We'll provide an update in 1 hour or something like that. So now we're actually, you know, working towards that model of getting closer and closer to the user. You know, frequently administrators will say, you certainly can echo this, that having to go into the experience is a bit cumbersome. You'd rather have it experience come back to you while you're in, you know, sort of inexperienced to tell you this is what's going on. Whether that be Message Center, where we surface information about features when you're going in for the first time, etc. Now, again, that feature is not announced in terms of a public date, but we are giving insight that we're going to be delivering it. And I would expect it sometime early next year that will actually start to become available early release.
That's a good augmentation of what, if you are using the mobile app, which it's great, you know, being able to get those push notifications to say when something's down. But you're, again, reaching people where they're working.
Where they're in, like Outlook. You said you're starting with
Outlook. Yeah, we're starting with Outlook.
Yep. But so combining that with those messages, like you're saying, when something is down, so you're getting a push notification, But if you're in Outlook and you're on your machine, on your desktop, and you're working, and you're like, oh, something's wrong, or and it pops up and goes, oh, your users are having an issue, I think that would be very valuable. And, you know, and having a, I don't know if you're planning on doing this, but you should, have a link to the item itself in the health dashboard.
Yeah.
You know, so that, oh, I see this message, I can click it and take it to it. And then, sorry, I didn't mean click, to tell you what to do.
Click the Me Too button.
Yes, Me Too button. Yes, but say, Me Too, I'm having this issue.
Yep.
And I think that that would be valuable. Bringing that to SharePoint and Teams, I'm hoping that's the plan. It sounds like that is, but eventually.
Yep.
So I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, so thank you for the a little bit of a segue. So for report an issue, we're actually adding in the capability of saying, I'm also affected.
Yeah.
So again, as I go back to that sort of term of amplification, now it's not only telling us that there is an issue that we maybe are in process of investigating, but we don't know the impact. You're now telling us, yeah, it's impacting me.
Right.
But now it's also about, yeah, I see this issue. I'm affected by it. And as importantly, saying, I'm not affected by it.
Yeah.
Or this issue is now resolved for me. So we get that information back to us. Now, one thing that we added earlier this year, after we spoke the last time, was we added very similar feedback capability that we've had in Message Center for a while into the Service Health Dashboard. So you now can rate our postings, whereas for Message Center, it's sort of thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah. And, a comment.
And a comment.
Yeah.
For this, it's rate us. Rate how we did. Zero to, you know, 1 to 5 stars. Tell us how we did. And then give us commentary against it in terms of, you know, you're not affected by it. You know, the information wasn't timely.
Mm.
The experience that I'm having is a little bit different. We actually, as part of my organization, 24/7, are looking at that content coming in real time and taking action where possible and trying to respond back to customers.
Fantastic.
Well, and I think that that's the important bit that we have emphasized on the show many times. Use those feedback options. The team is listening. And so you're just saying it yet again. And in this part of the service health, you're listening.
Yeah.
So when we have those ratings, make sure you start using those and provide content.
Yeah.
There's another place that you're listening there too. There's a link that goes off from User Voice, Director Engineering.
So there's Office Customer Voice, which is what is integrated into Message Center and the Service Health Dashboard. There is also User Voice, which is a little bit more of an unconstrained model of gathering feedback from customer population. The integration for Message Center and the Service Health Dashboard is in Office Customer Voice. So that we actually tag each instance of Message Center with the product marketing managers and the product owners and my organization for each message. So each message has a different set of individuals that are getting the content back. So if you say, I hate this feature, you know that it's not just going into some pool. It is actually going directly to that engineering owner of that feature.
Okay.
So I want to differentiate a little bit because it's a lot more targeted.
And for SharePoint people, that's like the difference between folksonomy and taxonomy, like free form versus more structure. But while we're on giving user voice, I mean, perhaps we could finish off here and talking about 365 Message Center voice. We have got some feedback about messaging. I know we prepped you for this to discuss it, but one of the things that we continue to see too is the struggle, I think, around consistency of messaging across maybe the different product groups in the Message Center. That, you know, one of the things that we kind of count on is getting reasonable notice, up to 30 days. Some of the things are landing days or even it's already happening in our tenant.
Yep.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about what's going on there to improve that?
Yeah, so there are a few things. So for major changes, we do maintain a commitment of 30 days notification, at least 30 days notification. You need to look, you know, certainly between the Message Center is where we provide that commitment. Many times the roadmap already has that content in there. We actually now are going through all of the content, working with a product marketing managers to drive a level of consistency. I mean, if you think about what we're curating, it's tens of thousands of developers that are building these experiences across, you know, the office organization experience and devices and cloud AI. So this is a large pool of individuals. And so we're focused more on the larger changes in terms of the consistency against those, because there's a certain amount of overhead that we take on as we do it. And so, you know, certainly when we are posting, we want to be in a position that the customer can take action. But there's a balance. And let me ask a question back to the both of you. If I could give you greater notice with less specificity, would you prefer that, or would you rather have me wait till I'm about to launch and then give you the information?
Yeah, so
what's your feeling?
I have a feeling, and I'll tell you that. But I also did a Twitter poll. Now, obviously, that's very limited, and it's not scientific. I asked the question, would you rather have greater notice but not a whole lot of information, or a lot of detail but with very short notification? And it was a mixed bag. The majority did say they would rather have more information and less notice, but it definitely was a mixed bag. It was like 60-40. So it was a majority but not definitive. I'm opposite. Mm-hmm. I would rather know about something that's coming and then a message be refined as you get closer.
We're going to add that poll to the corner there. Mm-hmm. So if you want to add this and just pass your vote, we'll see some results. Yeah. I'm kind of the same. Okay. I would like to hear something's happening and get the details filled in closer to the time.
Yeah. And that's actually with the release of the most recent update, because a lot of times we're actually doing that. But it wasn't surfacing itself, right? We would do the post, the customer would see it, and then they would go, well, there's not a lot of detail here. It's coming in 30 days. That's kind of a cruddy post. Yeah. And then we actually are providing additional content, but it's not surfacing itself back up to the top. So, and I think with Planner and Flow capabilities, or Automate, there's going to be a set of capabilities that the larger customers and those that are focused on it will actually be able to integrate in to say, oh, they've added some additional content, bring that back, surface it, tell me about it. But we are fully committed, and again, as you provide feedback that says, hey, it's great you're telling me about this, but I don't have enough information to know, that information we will use and we will look how to improve.
And I think that there are specific product groups that frequently do this, where they, we're releasing this beginning of November. Well, it's November 10th, so I guess you're already releasing it. And so we noticed that, and I think that's, you know, it's one of those, again, I know it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
And also, you're not writing these messages. you're not totally controlling the time frame. If they come to you and say, oh, by the way, we're releasing this tomorrow, you're like, wait, what? You know, so I know there's some of that, and I understand that. And as well as, you know, if they don't want to, it's like a big reveal, and they don't want to give a whole lot of notice.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of things playing.
Yeah, certainly with Ignite, you'll find that a lot of things landed, and we had those quote-unquote embargoed in terms of communications.
Yeah.
But one thing that I was happy to hear as you were going through the message center is most of the items did have a time frame as to when they were going to start, and they had a time frame for when they were expected to complete.
Yeah.
And that has been feedback that we've gotten loud and clear from you, our customers, as well as MVPs like yourself. And we have been driving the engineering teams to have a greater level of consistency around that.
Yeah.
So you actually have something to go off of, and ultimately tell us if we've told you that it's coming, and by the way, you've now missed that date, saying, hey, this one was important to me, what's going on,
right?
Yeah. So it does provide us sort of a goalpost or target, and I was happy to see as you were reading through these that we were delivering that pretty consistently.
Yeah, it has been helpful. One last thing that we give feedback, and because we also have an interest in preparing our end users, I know that the Message Center, it's twofold. It's letting admins know what's coming and how to prepare for that. Ultimately, it's affecting the ability for us to help everyone on the planet to achieve more.
Yeah.
And we often see in the section that says, what do I need to do to prepare? That it says, you don't need to do anything to prepare. And we fill in there because we feel as often there are things that we need to prepare our users.
Yeah.
So we were thinking, like, what sort of thought has been given into filling that section out more and getting some consistent, useful help?
And how can we help with what should be there. For you know, what do we see that would be helpful? You know, because it usually, probably 90% of the time, it says you don't need to do anything. You may want to update your training materials.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, you definitely do. If you have training materials covering this, you have to update it.
But, yeah. And it's great feedback. And we actually have started, because I had a little bit of a pre-chat with you. I went directly to my engineering teams and I said, hey, guys, we should look at, because we're trying to balance again. We don't want the administrators to say, I actually have to do something for this to be enabled. But on the flip side, the message of, hey, I've got 10,000 users behind this. Here are a set of common things that you need to do as an administrator for features like this to make them exposed, used within your organization to reduce support calls, et cetera. So it was great feedback. You know, ultimately, I think, you know, in terms of what you can do, I'll go back to my comment with regard to amplification. You'll keep that noise coming to say, hey, do this. And on the flip side, I think thinking, you know, from the MVP community, how do you extend that out when we provide that? How do you create the community? How do you create sort of best practices, et cetera? Because you know better than we do effectively as to how this rolls out within an organization. Mm-hmm. What does an administrator need to do? Create those best practices. Then we have the capability of referencing those, et cetera. So, again, I really do appreciate the feedback, because I think it's something that we can do better, and now we're taking a look to see. So I think as you see Message Center content, hopefully in the near future, when you see no action required. However, here is a link to best practices for training and enabling and so on, these capabilities within your environment.
Yeah, we can give best practice to, as a default way of approaching what to do with a message like this. My hope would be, we've got three things in your scope in terms of life cycle of change. Letting people know what's coming up in the roadmap. A little microscope there as it's landing in the message center. It's going to happen. It's going to occur very soon. Service health dashboard to deal with things that are occurring after it's landed. But maybe there's a fourth unit, which potentially the bonds can form better within Microsoft, and that is working more closely with support.office.com, for example, where they may have fuller information about, here's the feature, here's some suggestions about how you can land that in your organization, here's some examples of change messaging that we could put out there.
It's tremendous feedback, and again, thank you for providing it. Demanding we do better. With how we operate,
just improving.
You know, for those three things, there is a gap between the message center and the health dashboard in time, right? Because we're going to be rolling this out, and the health dashboard is about things that have already rolled out and been used and working, and we're maybe having an issue. Well, there's some adoption that has to happen between
preparing
those
people.
Two things.
Yeah.
You're preparing them and then having those adoption activities. And that's really what this is talking about, is just giving us some help for, and it's really admins, we've got to be careful to say that Message Center is only for admins. It's not anymore.
Anymore.
Because we have our
I've got change
roles.
Managers in there.
That's right. Yeah. And so how do I take this information and do something with it, right? And I think, you know, improvements on the being able to do something with that, and those improvements you're talking about will be great to improve that.
So
I think it's good.
It's been really good to be able to give that feedback and see that change even since the last year.
We're going to keep it coming. One feature that I forgot to mention on the service health side is we're going to be enabling email notifications.
Oh, okay.
So you'll be able to subscribe to receive email notifications. We've had that as a common feature that's actually coming as well. So I've always enjoy coming in. I love the passion that you have around the features that we're delivering and your amplification of those. Ultimately, we're about listening to those signals, improving our capabilities on the areas that I have responsibility for.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you again, and thank the audience as well for their feedback and driving us to get better.
Mike, you have a session that I know in this moment, you're going to be doing that a bit later on today.
Yep.
What is the code that people could maybe watch that session?
After you give it.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Fine.
You'll have to
How you do 80, that? It's ADM30 is the session.
ADM30.
030?
I think that's probably what it is. If it has a 030, you can also, if you look on Ignite, look up ZIOCK speaker.
Excellent. We'll find the link to it.
So
I want to, last thing,
yep.
I want to say thank you for including the Daniel feature in the Message Center. And you're like, oh, yes, I know exactly what the Daniel feature is.
What's the Daniel feature?
The Daniel feature is, open up the Message Center.
Okay. What are we looking at?
The Daniel feature, if you close that, is this section here called Search.
Yes.
So this is the Daniel feature. Search has been on the mobile app for a while. And so we're able to search messages on the mobile, but that was the only way to do it. I call it the Daniel feature. You might call it the Daryl feature because you've wanted it too. And so I just want to thank you for that, being able to search message. Wait, there was a message I read, and it had to do with this, and that's what I need to know. I need to go get it. Well, now you can. We have the search box.
OneNote. Boom, there it is.
Yeah.
Two.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks again for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you.
For those of you who have been watching this episode, it has been a slightly longer one, and or you've been listening in via the car, mowing the lawn, whatever. It's been great to have you with us.
Yes.
We're going to snap in some promotional stuff a bit after this because there is a competition running at Ignite. Just check and see if you're listening, and there is going to be a reasonably good prize.
Yes.
So do stay informed and check in there. We're going to just splice that into the video somewhere. Might have even done it earlier in the episode. But, yeah, thanks again. That's Daryl as a Service and
Daniel Glenn
and
Michael Ziak.
And have a great day, and we'll see you again in the next episode. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
This episode of the 365 Mr. Center Show is sponsored by Microsoft, recorded live on location at Microsoft Ignite 2019 in Orlando. You have the chance to win one of 10 Surface Earbuds just for listening to this recording. Surface Earbuds, that's right, the latest ear tech, built for productivity, communication, and of course, listening to music. Stay on top of your day with Surface Earbuds featuring an ultra-comfortable design, intuitive touch and voice controls, screen-free access to Office 365, immersive sound for music and calls, and all-day battery. To be in the chance to win, visit aka.ms/msignite/podcast sweepstakes and complete your details. To enter, you must be 18 years of age or older. If Surface Earbuds are not available in for distribution in your legal country of residence, you'll be provided an alternative prize of equal or greater value. For full terms and conditions, visit aka.ms/msignite/podcast sweepstakes. Entries close at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time, December 15th, 2019. Be in to win.